Blog Talk Radio.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. So perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that's a fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that's a fact. You are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
Another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Like always, I'll suggest that everyone grab your notepads, your iPads, your concordance, your Bible, study Bible, everything that you would need for a good study. Also, I would like to someone to send me a shout out, let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly, because the past couple of times we've been having some technical difficulties. Like always, just going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank thee, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. We thank thee for the lessons and the blessings that you have given us throughout the course of this week. But ultimately, Father, we thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, for the love that he has shown toward us as individuals and humanity as a whole. We thank thee, Father, for choosing us to walk in your ways. We ask of thee, Father, to help us to have ear to hear and have feet to stand on your word, and have a mouth to speak the truth of thy gospel, thy good news brought to us through thy Son. Father, we thank thee for your love. We thank thee for this day that you've given us another opportunity to get it right. Father, we ask thee to continue to comfort those who need comforting, strengthen those who need strengthening. As you said in your word, Eya, Asha, Eya, you will be what you will be to those who believe in you. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Hello once again. I'm Yarao, and I'm going to start another session of Can It Be That Simple? And this session is entitled, Whose Shoes Are You Wearing? And it's a continuation of last week's session where we was talking about what type of servant are you? So the Father put on my mind to go through the Word and go through different servants that he chose to be examples for us. And one of the things that you will notice that throughout these different servants that he had chosen to do his will, they had slight character flaws. So it's okay for us to have a character flaw, but don't allow that character flaw to cause you to not do the will of the Father. And one of the things that I realized in doing this study is that the shoes that we all are trying to wear are the shoes that Yahushua wore. But in that process, we're going to mess around and put on somebody else's shoes. And we're supposed to learn from those examples, because when we start off this journey, we have our own shoes on. But as we travel with him, we have to take those shoes off, because those shoes that we have on our feet is the foundation in which we're starting this journey with. But the end journey, or the end shoes that we're trying to have on our feet, are the ones that Yahushua wore, because we're trying to walk in his footsteps and the path that he is right, he's walking, and that's that path of righteousness. So we're going to start off with a couple of introductions, you know, because as we know, the Father uses everybody, you know, because he created everybody and everything. And everything that he created is for his purpose and for his purpose alone. And we have to understand how we fit in to his purpose. And once we understand how we fit into his purpose, we're supposed to do his will, just as his son, Yahushua, did. Because that's the example that we're striving to be like. That is the spirit that we're striving to put in us. So, one of the servants that came to mind was Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. And it reads, Yahweh said to Abraham, do not let it be grievous in your sight because of the boy, and because of the handmaiden. And all that Sarah say to you, listen to her. Listen to her voice. For from Isaac will your seed be called. I started here because, as we say, Abraham is the father of faith. And he was in a situation where he had to make a decision. And he was, I'm going to say, he was slow at making the decision. And Yahweh chose his wife to be that voice of reasoning, for him so that he can pursue what Yahweh wanted him to do. I'm going to go to another sermon. Going to go to Genesis. I should have started here, but I started there. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And it reads, Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So as we see here, when man was put into the garden, he was put in the garden for a purpose. He was put in the garden to keep it, dress it. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. And it reads, as time passed, it happened that Cain brought an offering to Yahweh from the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought some of the firstborn of his flock and its fat. Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his expression on his face fell. So I'm stopping here because as we see that the first servant of the father, he was a husbandman. And the first son of that husbandman was Cain. And as we know, a husbandman is a person who tills the field. He was a farm rat, as one would say. So he had to do that hard work. And his countenance fell because he didn't put in, as we see, effort in offering the father something decent. And if we once we get in, we read the story a little more, the father came to him and tried to convince him to do well. But as you continue to read in this story, he didn't want to do well. He just wanted to get rid of the one who did well, so that his offering would be accepted. So from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 1. We're going to read verses 15 and 17. From 15 to 17, and it reads, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you perform the duties of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Yahweh and did not do what the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the baby boys alive. Here's another servants that the Most High chose. They were told to bring harm to Israel, the youngsters, the beginnings of Israel, and they failed to listen to the king, or we would say the world system. So sometimes we as believers have to make a decision on whether or not we're going to allow Israel to live or to kill Israel for the sake of the world. That's a choice that we have to make, whether be male or female. But in this case, it was a female. So from here, we're going to go to Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. And this is Actually, I should have read this one after Genesis chapter 4. And it reads, "My son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he reproves, even as a father reproves the son on whom he delights." So, like I was saying earlier, the father went to Cain and tried to convince Cain to do well. And sometimes the father will come to us because he loves us, and he will correct us. He will, as we say, discipline. Now, when we use the word discipline, he is correcting us. He's training us to do the right thing. From here, we're going to go to Judges, chapter 4. But I'm going to read a couple different scriptures and within this particular chapter. I'm going to read verses 4, verses 14, and verses 21. And it reads, "Now Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time." Verse 14. "Deborah said to Barak, 'Go, for this is the day in which Yahweh has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not Yahweh gone out before you?' So Barak went down to Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him." Verse 21, "Then Yael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him, and struck the pin into his temple, and pierced it through into the ground, for he was in a deep sleep. So he swooned and died." So right here, talking about different servants. Here we had Deborah. She was a prophetess, and she was a judge over Israel. And she prophesied and let Barak know that Yahweh was on his side and that Yahweh was getting ready to deliver his enemy into his hands. And how did he do it? He did it through Yael, the wife of Heber. And this is another thing, another time in which Israel was saved by a female. So from here, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verses 20 to 22. And it reads, "The Spirit of Yahweh came to Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus saith Yahweh, why do you disobey the commandments of Yahweh so that you can't prosper? Because you have forsaken Yahweh. He has also forsaken you. Fired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandments of the king in the court of the house of Yahweh. Thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son when he died. He said, 'May Yahweh look at it and repay it.'" Now, one of the things, what did Jehoiada do? Jehoiada. He restored the worship of Yahweh and ordered repairs to the temple. And we also have to understand that Joash was a child king also. But his mother was wicked. his mother was an idolater. So as soon as Yehudah died, the first thing he did was went back to the ways of his mother. Or he, you know, as they say, when the leadership is no longer there, things begin to change. So from here, we're going to go to Luke, chapter 11. I'm reading verses 49 to 51, and it reads, "Therefore also the wisdom of Yah said, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. It will be required of this generation." Now, I looked into Zechariah. They say that Zechariah was the last martyr, I guess the old scriptures. But we have to understand that in this day and time, that's what is still happening. Men and women who serve Yahweh and choose to serve Yahweh and keep his law, statutes, and judgments are being killed. And Yahushua said that's what's going to happen. If you stand up for me, they will kill you. They, in this day and time, they're killing people both physically and spiritually, tearing your reputation down, because that's a way of killing also. But we, as believers, have to stand firm in this word, because the word already told us this is what's going to happen. We have to build our mind and understand that that's where we serve Yahweh. We serve Yahweh with our mind. And if we serve Yahweh with our mind, our bodies will follow through. As we say, we've read before, if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside of the cup will be clean. So now we're going to go to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read a couple scriptures. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to read verse 8. And it reads, and this is talking about Yahushua, and it says, "While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster jar of ointment, a pure nard, very costly. She broke the jar and poured it over his head." Verse 4. "But there were some who were indignant among themselves, saying, why has this ointment been wasted?" And if you read a couple other scriptures, it talks about how they could have taken that oil and got money for it. But this is what Yeshua said to them: "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burying." And the burying, as we know, is when he's going to lay his life down, because by this time he has already told his disciples that he's going to be killed. And what she is doing is she's doing a service to him, preparing him. And they're murmuring, not realizing what she is doing. She's being in servitude for him. And as you read in the scriptures in regards to this young lady who did this, he said that she will always be remembered for the service that she provided for the Messiah before his death. Now we're going to go to Jonah. Jonah, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. And so far, you know, we've talked about a variety of different servants who did a variety of different things. We had one servant who was preaching repentance, and because of that, they stoned him. We had one servant who gave up a very good offering, and his brother killed him. Two servants who was protecting Israel when the world system said kill them. We had another two servants. One prophesied about the other one doing something for the king's sake. So now we're going to go to Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And it reads, "Now the word of Yahweh came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish, from the presence of Yahweh. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid its fare. He paid its fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh." So we look at this servant of Yahweh. And well, let me read this scripture right here. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. And it reads, "Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, like as in the days of the trials in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me by proving me and saw my works for 40 years. So the Father led me to this particular scripture because what happened? Jonah was told to do a thing, but because of his opinion in regards to what should be happening, he decided he wasn't going to do it. His heart was hardened. But as we know, everything happened for the glory of the Most High. So that was something that he had to learn also. And we also know in the scriptures that say, you know, we can't hide from the Father because he's always there. But sometimes in our minds, we believe that we are hiding from the Father, that the Father doesn't see what we're doing. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. Now I'm going to read about another prophet. And this is in 1 Kings. I'm going to read it. So I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. Then I'm going to read verse 11, verse 18 and 19, and verses 25 to 26. And this particular servant, you know, he was told to do a thing, and he stood firm for a minute, but then he reneged. And it reads, verse 1, "Behold, there came a man of Elohim out of Yehuda by the word of Yahweh, to Bethel. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, Altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Joash by name, and you shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and they will burn men's bones on you. He gave a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar will be split apart, and the ashes that are on it will be poured out. And it happened when the king heard the saying of the man of Elohim, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that Jeroboam put out his hand from the, from the altar, saying, seize him. His hand, which he put out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back again to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of Elohim had given by the word of Yahweh. The king answered the man of Elohim, now entreat the favor of Elohim, of Yahweh, your mighty one, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. The man of Elohim entreated Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored him, and again, and became as it was before. The king said to the man of Elohim, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. The man of Elohim said to the king, even if you gave me half of your house, I will not go in with you. Neither would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it commanded me by the word of Yahweh, saying, you shall eat no bread nor drink water, neither return by the way that you came. I'm going to stop here for a minute because I'm going to go up to the part where it says where the king and Jeroboam stretched out his hand to seize the man of Yah. And his hand dried up. See, because the scriptures say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So Jeroboam was stretching out his hand to bring harm to their prophet. And that's the same thing for us. Speaking his word and teaching his word, we're prophets also. We're teachers. We're servants of the Most High. In whatever capacity that he has us in. So we have to be mindful that he's always watching us. He knows what we're doing. He knows our prayers. He knows what we are asking for. He knows the situations that we're in. And he's a covenant mighty one. And if we do what he say, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Like we've been saying, do you have faith in that? Do you believe in that? Do you operate your life in that? 1 Kings. Chapter 13, verse 11. Now, there lived an old prophet in Bethel, and one of his sons came and told him all the works that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. Verse 18. He said to him, I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Verse 25. Behold, men passed by and saw the body cast in the way, and a lion standing by the body. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, it is the man of Elohim who was disobedient to the mouth of Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh has delivered him to the lion, which has mauled him and slain him, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke to him. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. And it reads, my son, attend my words. Turn your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. And the Father took me there because when we're looking at this particular prophet, when he was talking to the king, he was standing firm. But when he came around someone who said that they was a prophet just like him, he listened to those words of another man. Credibility of this man versus the credibility of the Father himself who spoke to him. Just like when we go to Adam, the Father or Yahweh spoke to Adam and told Adam a thing. But Adam chose to listen to someone else. And because of it, death came his way. Same thing happened to this prophet. Yahweh spoke to him and told him a thing. And he failed to listen to what Yahweh said to him, came his way. Now, another prophet that, you know, another servant of the Most High that came to my mind, I was going to, you know, I started to put it down on paper and read the different scriptures of it, but it just seemed that it was going to be long. So I'm going to just talk about it. I'm going to talk about Samson, Shimshon. You know, Shimshon was a judge in Israel. But before he settled down to become a judge, you know, Shimshon had did some things for the Most High. You know, his mother was barren, and she wanted a child, and the father came to her and honored her prayer. But then he gave some stipulations with this particular child. He told her not to drink any wine, any fermented grapes, and things of that nature. And he told her that the child shouldn't have any wine or shouldn't cut his hair, you know, gave various stipulations. So Samson grew, got older. But one of the things that Samson had a thing for was women outside of Israel. And the father, because the father knows these things, he utilized that for his glory. And Samson fell for a couple of Philistine women. The first woman he fell for, you know, he ended up marrying her. I mean, he married her against his parents' wishes. And in the process, she deceived him. And that made him angry, because he loved her, but she loved her family more. As a result, her family members end up getting killed, and she ended up losing her life, which caused Samson to have revenge and remorse for the Philistines. Then he came across another Philistine woman, you know, because, you know, in the process he, you know, as we know the story, he messed up their crops, the Philistine crops. He wiped some of their army out with the jawbone of a donkey. But ultimately, he came across another female who won his heart. He ended up telling her his vow that he was born with. And she betrayed him. And what we learn from this particular story is his faith. His faith was more in his strength and his power, not realizing that his faith, his power, his strength came from the Mighty One. But at the end of this story, we realize that he realizes that that's where his power came from. And that's one of the things that we learn from this particular story of Samson, a servant of the Most High. And when you finish reading that story and understand that it says that Samson, he killed more of the Philistines at his death than he did throughout the course of his life. So the Father uses our shortcomings to his advantage, for his glory. like I said earlier in the conversation or in the lesson, we may have character flaws because we inherited them from the beginning when Adam was disobedient. But the Father can utilize our character flaws to help us to be like His Son. But we have to want and desire to be like His Son, the one to walk in His shoes. And He tells us, if you want to walk in My shoes, count that cost. You know, don't put your hand to this plow and want to take it off. Because once you put your hand to the plow, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to put in work. So from here, we're going to go to another servant that the Most High chose. And like I said, for a purpose. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 3 to 6. And it reads, Satan entered into Yehuda, who was surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered with the 12. He went away and talked with the chief priests and the captains about how he might deliver him to them. And delivered him is Yahushua. They were glad and agreed to give him money. He consented and sought an opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. Because we know that Yahushua was teaching during the day in the synagogues. He was answering the questions of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders. And they hated him. They despised him because he was teaching the people the word of Yah. But not according to man, but according to the Father. And because of this, they wanted him dead. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 5. And it reads, Yehudas, who betrayed him when he saw that Yahushua was condemned, felt remorse and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? You see to it. He threw down the pieces of silver in the sanctuary and departed. He went away and hanged himself. So we have a servant that was walking with Yahushua, seeing the miracles that Yahushua did. But in the process, betrayed him. And then felt remorse. Giving the money back, he thought that was going to change something, but it didn't. And then he ultimately took his life. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And it says, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. Whom he justified, those he also glorified. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestined us for adoption as children through Yahushua to himself, according to the good pleasures of his desire. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah 53, verse 10 to 11. And it reads, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. cause him to suffer, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. My righteous servant will justify many by the knowledge of himself, and he will bear their iniquities. This is talking about Yahushua. And as we started it off, whose shoes are you wearing? And I started it off saying that the shoes that we striving to put on our feet are the shoes of Yahushua. Because he's the ultimate. He is the perfect man. And he gave us the perfect example on how to serve God. And as he said in his word, learn of me. Why are we learning of him? So that we can be obedient to Yah. Because we've learned earlier how that is the duty of man, to fear Yahweh and to keep his commandments. For that is the duty of man. And how can we do that? If we allow the mind of the Messiah to be in us, then we can do that. He suffered unto death. He was obedient unto death. Righteous in all that he did. For our sake. So the least little thing that we can do is to lay our life down for him so that he can live through us. So family, as you in the process of changing your shoes, look to the scriptures to learn of Yahushua, to learn of our forefathers, and to strive not to make the same mistakes that they made. For as we know, we're human and we're subject to make mistakes, but they don't have to be a practice and they don't have to be an excuse for why we fall short. So family, I hope that you've gathered something from these scriptures today and given you something to ponder. For as we enter into yet another Sabbath day, we ask the Father to open our minds to his truth. Open our mouths to speak his truth. Guide our feet to walk in his truth. And may we give him the praise that he deserves on this day, the Sabbath day, in which he say that he's going to meet with us. May we give all the glory to him through his Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, soon coming King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we enter into the Sabbath day, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us. Continue to protect us. Continue to allow us to be the apple of your eye. For we know that in your word you have said that you will cut us off if it need be. But we ask of thee, O Father, to continue to strengthen us and allow us to continue to hold on to those things that are righteous in your sight. May we continue to reach and hold on to those hems of Yahushua's garment. May we continue to look toward him, that light, that mark, that point. May we continue to keep our eyes on him so that we will not sink into temptation. May we continue to fill our minds with the word of truth so that we too can perform the task in which he has done, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, opening the mouths of the dumb, and strengthening those who are weak. We thank thee, Father, once again, for allowing us to come to this Sabbath day to sup with you. We pray in the name of Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Holy Power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Beneficent One. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber and enjoy the wonders of this Sabbath. Hallelujah. Amen.
Confederated against me, the curses of the sun.
that fell on me for my evil.